Grace and peace in the name of Jesus Christ, our blessed Lord and Savior. Amen. Our text today is the gospel lesson from Matthew 5. We pray, Lord, indeed, we gather around your word this day. Give us the Holy Spirit. Open our ears, open our minds, open our hearts to receive your word, that it produce faith in us, strengthen our faith, that we leave as the salt of the earth, the light of the world. Your bold witnesses, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You say that with me? Thank you, Lord Jesus. That is a proper response, always to God's word, but certainly a proper response to the gospel lesson, because our Lord Jesus says some amazing, wonderful, incredible, seemingly unbelievable things about us people. Did you see it? Hear it? He says, we are the salt of the earth, the light of the world. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In this text, we have three lessons I'll share today. We have a word of great comfort. Great, great comfort. We have a word of command, of encouragement. And there's also a word of warning, of caution to the church living here on earth. First of all, there's a great, great, great word of comfort. The Lord here tells us who we are. Do you really know who you are? He tells us our identity as we abide in Him. We're baptized in Him. The identity that little Laurel has now, that we have as His baptized children, that we have as believers given by the Holy Spirit, faith given by the Spirit. He tells us our identity. No matter what happens to us, this is our identity, who you are. Our high, high, high status as the children of God. He says, you are the salt of the earth. You the baptized. You who believe. You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. Even better. No, he says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light. He doesn't say, you will become the salt if you do better. Or you will become light if you do better and get out of the darkness. Or you ought to be the light. You ought to be salt. You should be salt. You should be light. None of that. But he says, you are a proclamation of truth. You are salt. You are light. That's your identity. Salt is purity. Salt back in that day and today represents purity and holiness. The Greeks said that salt was divine. It came from the gods, made of the sun and sea. It's a divine gift. Pure, holy. Salt was used in covenants and sacrifices to purify it, make it holy, make it of God. So when Jesus says, you are salt, he's saying, you are pure. You are holy through and through. From the top of your head to the bottom of your head, you are pure and you are holy. You're cleansed. You're forgiven. How can it be? Implied is his cross, his resurrection, baptism. I will make you pure. I make you clean. I forgive you. And so you are radiant and spotless. That's who you are. Always remember that. You're the salt of the earth, pure and holy. And then it gets better. You're the light of the world. I don't know, light's a bit more beautiful and glorious than salt, isn't it? And light implies wisdom taught in the epistle. You're wise now. You have the Holy Spirit. You have faith. You understand things the world doesn't. You can enlighten people now. Light also implies resurrection, glory, heaven, being with God forever. That's all ours in Christ. We are the light, we are salt, pure and holy and cleansed now, and we have eternal life in heaven, and we'll shine forever like the sun in the resurrection. Words of great comfort for sinners who confess and are sick and diseased and dying and troubled and stressed out and burdened. You know who you are. Ann and I went to see La La Land the other night. Who saw La La Land? It's a 5-star movie up for Academy Awards. Pretty good movie. Of young people, a young lady who wants to be an actress, a young man who's a piano player, jazz. And they want to make it big in La La Land, in L.A., Hollywood. They want to make it big. And in the movie, they do eventually make it big. But it's La La Land. A place where dreams normally don't come true. You have your big dreams, but they don't come true. We often say that to each other. You're living in la-la land. You have some pipe dream that's not going to come true. Well, in the church, we don't live in la-la land. We talk about dreams that are out there that won't come true. In the church, we live in alleluia land. Praise the Lord land. Thank the Lord Jesus land. This is alleluia land we live in, where our dreams do come true because of Jesus. He lived, he died, he rose, we're baptized, we have heaven, our names are written there, we have eternal life, we have the love of God. It's alleluia land. All dreams come true in the church because of Jesus. What great comfort, because out there, they often don't come true. There's a word of command here, of encouragement. You are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world, so live it. Be who you are in the world out there. Be the salt, that's who you are. And be the light which you are in Christ. Salt and light are both selfless, aren't they? They don't serve themselves. They serve others. None of you at your Super Bowl meal will put out a great bowl of salt and say, let's all have some salt to eat. Look at the salt, isn't it wonderful? And you probably won't look at the lights in your house and say, oh, look, those lights are incredible. Look at the lights, everybody. Salt flavors food in a hidden way. It preserves food from rotting in a very hidden way. You don't focus on the salt. You focus on what it does. And same thing with light. Light reveals things around it, but doesn't really draw attention to itself. It reveals what's out there, so you pay attention to it. And so the Lord is saying, be selfless. Be humble. Serve others. Be who you are. In a world of hate, show love and preserve the world from hatred. In a world of great, great war and wickedness, show kindness and mercy and preserve the world like salt. Flavor the world with joy when there's a lack of joy. Flavor the world with peace. Flavor the world with mercy. Flavor the world with compassion. Be salt. And then light. Be a light wherever you're at. Meaning show people the way by how you live and you speak. Show people the way to true joy. His name is Jesus. Show it. Teach it. Show people the way to true love. His name is Jesus and the cross. They don't know that. They're looking for that. Show them. Be a light. Show them the way to heaven, which is through Jesus. The way to eternal life, which is through Jesus. The way to resurrection, which is through Jesus. Show that. And all you say and do, be a light. People are drawn to you because you know the truth. You're a Christian. You love. You're merciful. Be who you are. I heard where some people are complaining today. You know why they're complaining? Well, do you know how many chicken wings will be eaten today? 1.25 billion chicken wings eaten on Super Bowl Sunday. And so there's complaints because we're cruel to chickens. How dare we treat chickens so badly? I don't care how many chicken wings you eat, friend. Chickens are a good gift, but they're basically here to eat. Don't be cruel to them, but we can eat them. What I care about is not wings, but wickedness in the world. God says it in the Old Testament lesson. The real problem is wickedness. The real problem is war. The real problem is unbelief. People lie in darkness, and there's lust, and there's greed, and there's stealing and lying. That's the real problem. Be salt. Be light. And then there's a word of caution. The Lord cautions us, warns us, it's not going to be easy to be salt and to be light as we live on this earth. And he mentions really two problems that we have as salt and light that inhibit our witness. And one of them is worldliness, I'll call it. One big problem is that we become again as Christians like the world and we lose our saltiness. He mentions that. That if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled. He's saying, beware, it's not easy to be salt, to live a pure, holy life. Beware of engaging again in the sin of the world and becoming wicked and worldly and thinking like the worldly and losing your faith. Because then you're a useless Christian if you're a Christian at all. Because you no longer have salt. And you're thrown out. because you've lost your faith and you no longer bear the name of Jesus. And so he's teaching the importance of the church here. How can we remain salty through the ministry of the church? By hearing the word of God, which you're doing right now, taking the sacrament of Jesus' body and blood, being absolved of your sins. You need a pastor. You need a church. You got to stay in it to remain salty or you become worldly. The church, word, sacrament, that we be salted again with the purity of Christ. And then the other problem we have is fear. We're afraid of being any kind of witness because we might get persecuted. And he mentions that as he talks about the light. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. He mentions that because that's what we want to do. We want to hide our faith, hide our light. I'm scared. We sing this little gospel light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. Be honest. Sometimes hide it under a bushel. Yes, I do. I'm scared. I don't want anybody to know I'm a Christian. I don't want to confess Christ in the midst of an evil world. I might be hurt. And so again, the importance of the church. The importance of the word, the sacrament. Come, the Holy Spirit will salt us again. The Holy Spirit will brighten the light again. Refuel our faith. That's why, again, we need absolution, the word of God, communion, a pastor, a church, each other, to remain lit and bright. Come. I read the article to Billy Graham this week, one of the articles, and the lady that wrote was an older lady. She said she hadn't really been to church, and she was afraid to go to church. Guess why? She was afraid because she might embarrass herself. And I thought to myself, that kind of happens to me about every Sunday and every Wednesday, huh? That keeps you from church? I thought she'd say, because there's hypocrites and all the other reasons, but you think you're going to embarrass yourself? Welcome to the crowd. We all embarrass ourselves because we sin and we hurt each other and do wrong things. But we come. We come and God's not embarrassed of us. God's not ashamed of us. God loves us and God forgives us and God forgives us and God forgives us and God washes us, cleanses us, strengthens us, and so we come. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In you, we are the salt of the earth. The light of the world. Amen. We rise. May the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.